6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Monday, April 11th, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Thanks for joining in with us for hour number two. All sorts of interesting conversation to be had here. 844-769-2944 is our call-in number. Mark, Patrice, and Brian all took advantage of that in our last hour, and we appreciate you. We have another guest on the phone from Germany that we got a hold of in the show. And, of course, this is fairly significant for those of you who want to know about Gitmo. And he has a project that tracks the life of Guantanamo prisoner Mahamadou Slahi in his quest to track down his former interrogator. See, he was locked up in Gitmo for 14 years, accused of being part of Al-Qaeda after 9/11, although he was never proven guilty. Sound familiar? Like January 6th defendants? His best-selling book, Guantanamo Diary, describes his abuse at the hands of masked and codenamed Special Projects interrogators. And we have, of course, the award-winning writer, investigative journalist, and filmmaker John Getz with us on the phone. I mean, he's gotten some very, very huge coverage all over Europe, and you may have seen some of his stuff here in the States. But he has basically documented Mahamadou Slahi's lifestyle and what's happened to him since being imprisoned in Gitmo. John Getz, welcome so much to the Power Hour. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. I'm interested to have the conversation.
Well, you bet, and we appreciate you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. We're talking about the War on Terror, and 9/11 happened, and the Patriot Act got immediately pulled off the shelf where it had been sitting in mothballs for a while. And here you have a guy that basically, how did you find out about how his capture, where he was, what he was doing, why they accused him of being part of Al-Qaeda? I mean, give us a little bit of background on that, would you?
Yeah, sure. You know, Mahamadou Slahi is really one of the only two cases where the United States government, and it was actually a bipartisan committee, investigated and found that he had been tortured at Guantanamo. There's a lot of allegations, and probably some of them true in other cases, but he and another person are is really the only case where there's like kind of unity on both sides of the fence that he was tortured in 2003. He was somebody who had lived in Germany for a number of years. And so I was working at Der Spiegel back then, the German magazine. And we, you know, Guantanamo was a big issue back then, back in 2007. So I decided, let's look into this guy. He's got a German connection, and, you know, why is he there? And so back then I did a long story that looked at the evidence of, why the U.S. government thought he may have been a part of 9/11, why he was a part of Al-Qaeda, might have been a part of Al-Qaeda. And so that was my first connection to the story, and that's when I met his legal team, and actually he found out about me as well.
So the thing is that he was in prison for 14 years, and I imagine they probably waterboarded him on a regular basis, which is probably what they do, and now he's trying to track down mysterious Mr. X. Do we know who that is yet?
Yeah, well, here's what happened is that I did the first story that kind of raised questions about the evidence that was there. And we basically had the theory that he was a kind of Forrest Gump of terrorism and that he, but they never could show that he did anything. He was never even charged with a crime. So when he got out of jail, back then when he read my story, he kind of broke down and cried because it was the first time, his lawyer told me this back then, it was the first time that someone had actually questioned the evidence against him. So when he got out of jail, you know, when he was released from Guantanamo, I got a WhatsApp message. And he's like, hey, John, remember me? And he said, I'd like you to come down and visit me. And I thought, well, is that really something? You know, I now work for German public television. Is that a story for us just to visit him? You know, who knows? And we decided that I'd go down. And that's when he said what he wanted me to do. He said, you know, you're good at doing this. You've done it before. Do you think there's any way you can go out and try to find the people who tortured me? And his goal was to invite them to a cup of tea, basically to kind of, you know, move beyond the past and to kind of talk about what happened back then. That was kind of his thing. And we thought, you know, well, what we'll do is we'll do a film about trying to find these people. And if we do, they'll slam the door on us. And that will be the film, kind of how we don't get the story. What surprised us is that we went out to find the torturers, and we found them, and a number of them were willing to meet with him and talk about what happened back then. And that's what the film's about.
They had tea. They had tea, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, of course, because of Corona, it was all electronic, right?
Yeah, of course.
But he met with a number of the people who were involved in his mistreatment. And each case was very different. What's very interesting is that, I just point one thing out, there were a number of people within the Pentagon and within the U.S. military back then who tried to stop the torture from happening while it happened. And it was very interesting is that those people were actually later Trump supporters. And what's very interesting is that a number of the people who were on the torture team, or the team that, you know, did the torture, not all of them, but some of them were Clinton supporters, because we were doing all of this kind of, it was still, you know, the election was going down. And anyway, it was kind of an interesting aside. So we went out to find the people, and we found them.
Interesting. So this is the website, folks, GuantanamoRevisitedFilm.com. That's the website of the film. And so when you get into something like this and you're putting together a film of this nature, how do you get funding for documentaries like this, John?
Well, I'm a staff person at German public television, right? You know, which is, you know, the biggest channel here. I spoke to my bosses and they said, well, if you can find somebody, we'll fund a film. You know, if you can find somebody who will speak to, you know, who will actually talk, we will fund it. We never imagined that we'd get, you know, we speak in the end to five different people who were involved in his mistreatment. We never imagined that a number of them would want to actually talk to Mahamudu. And what's really interesting is that the different people reacted very differently. And that's actually kind of the interesting thing about the film, is how differently people reflected and thought about the, you know, back 2003, what had happened back then.
Really? So how did the U.S. government come to arrest Slahi in the first place? He was living in Germany, and they had to, obviously, somebody had to connect with him over there and take him into custody. Is that what happened, or was he here in the States? I mean, where was he when they picked him up?
No, it's not a complicated story. He did go, when he was a student in Germany, he did go to Afghanistan in the early 1990s and fought on the side of the Mujahideen against the Soviet-backed government in Afghanistan. And in the back then, Osama bin Laden was also involved in that process, and he was kind of part of the Osama bin Laden wing of the Mujahideen. This is all, you know, in the early 1990s. He left Afghanistan and basically decided he was going to break off all contacts with that world. He wasn't going to be active in that stuff anymore, and went on to become actually an engineer in Germany, and had a great job at one of Germany's great engineering companies. And then 9/11 happened. And all of his earlier contacts, the fact that his cousin was still with Osama bin Laden, the fact that he had once been called by Osama bin Laden's satellite phone. I mean, there was just a lot of stuff that came together that made him look very, very suspicious, you know. The thing is that when you look at each one of those points, you know, there's really quite an interesting explanation that really does pan out when you look into it. So anyway, so he was in Germany, you know, and left Germany, was in Canada, had kind of been surveilled by the Canadian authorities, and was back in Mauritania, which is where he's from, when he was arrested. The one point I just need to make, he was not picked up. He voluntarily went to the police. He wasn't running. He voluntarily left the wedding, got in a car, and drove to the police and says, you know, I'll answer any questions I can, like he had 25 times previously. Yet this time, it was after 9/11, and then he kind of entered, you know, the world of the American intelligence community. He was rendered to Jordan, then he went to Bagram, and from Bagram, he was brought to Guantanamo.
Oh, my. Yeah, then he went through 14 years of hell in Gitmo. And of course, you know,
right. The torture happened in 2003. There was about like a 6 month period, kind of depending on how you define it, where he was tortured. After that, actually, his conditions improved significantly. The real rough period was a 6 month period in 2003.
What'd they do to him?
Well, he was beaten. He was, you know, forced to stay awake for, you know, what seems like several weeks. You know, weird stuff with food, you know, colds, you know, heat. They threatened his mother. They threatened his mother with rape. They threatened other members of his family. That's kind of the... And a number of cases, severe beatings. He was also led to believe that he was about to be executed at one moment. And if you look at the UN definition of torture, which the United States has signed, threatening family members and things like that, and pretending you're going to execute someone, those are things that do constitute torture according to the UN definition.
Right. So, of course, none of these guys that were on this special teams or special projects interrogators, none of them were ever brought to justice under this law or this agreement the U.S. signed.
None of them were ever brought to justice. None of them were ever brought to justice. A number of them who were, kind of a part of the whole mistreatment do apologize. You know, where one guy apologizes to Mahamudu. Another has spent many years of his life regretting what he did, and actually became kind of a teacher for interrogators in Iraq and in Afghanistan. And he, his strongest argument was, you don't want to do this to prisoners because it's going to make you into me, and you don't want to become me. He spent kind of the next 15 years trying to convince people not to do that within the U.S. military, interestingly.
Yeah, I mean, I could understand why your conscience would be affected if you're going to act like an SS, you know. There's something else that you were involved in. You won Best Documentary Prize from the German Television Academy in 15 for Snowden's Great Escape. I found that kind of
right.
Unusual. And, this is the thing about Snowden. Everybody in America thinks he's a hero except their own government.
Right. Well, the film that we did back then, 2015, was about how the hell did he get out of Hong Kong? You know, the U.S. was closing in on him. You know, he had kind of gone public back then with all of his information and was basically sitting there waiting to get arrested and basically spend the rest of his life in an American prison. And he managed to escape. And the story is basically, how did he manage to escape? It's online if you want to watch it. That's what that's about. And it was basically WikiLeaks kind of intervened and kind of got him out of there. He was on his way to Venezuela, or some Latin American country when the U.S. canceled his passport and he was forced to stay in Moscow.
Amazing how that works too. And I wonder how much information he has given up to the Soviets as a result of his being there. Any idea?
Well, Snowden himself has been very adamant, and he has some witnesses, that Sarah Harrison was with him, that he refused to help the Russians in any way whatsoever. And if they wanted to expel him, he was prepared to do that. Did not have any documents with him. They were all kind of encrypted and given to the journalists. He did not keep a copy to prevent that kind of thing from happening. I don't think he did give up any information to the Russian authorities.
Right. Well, I mean, this was Glenn Greenwald and people like that he met with, right, in secret?
Exactly. He met with Greenwald in Hong Kong, and kind of Greenwald went public, you know, as he was supposed to do. And then the question of how could Snowden manage to escape kind of this dragnet? And that's what the film's about.
Yeah, that's amazing that you did this. And how long is that film?
That's 58 minutes. And the film about Slahi and the torture team is 90 minutes.
Okay. And so you also worked as a producer at CBS's 60 Minutes. Out of curiosity,
right.
Yeah, when you were there, what was the nature of the shows? I mean, did everybody there at 60 Minutes have a specific designated type of program that they would produce? Or is it something you were just kind of given a general assignment and you just did what you were told?
No, I pitched a story. You know, I worked for Morley Safer at the time. You know, I was an associate producer. Worked for Jeff Fager and for Morley Safer. And I pitched a story about anti-Semitism and kind of, you know, the memorialization of the Nazis in the Ukraine in the early 1990s. And that's what that film was about. It was called The
sure.
Ugly Face of Freedom.
Okay. So 844-769-2944 is the number to call if you have a question for our guest, John Goetz. And this is kind of an amazing thing because, see, after 9/11, everybody was, I mean, if you were dark-skinned, this war on terror and everything that was happening and, you know, the Saudi involvement and everything else, I mean, you were literally, it was one of these crazy things where people were literally beating up on Middle Easterners for no reason.
This is the famous case of the man from India who was attacked because people thought that he was Arab. And, you know, no, it was a very, very intense atmosphere back then. Of course, you're right.
It sure was. Now, you know, given everything that's happened right now, and I kind of look at things in retrospect between then and now, John, when you look at and you examine everything from the perspective and from where you are right now, you're in Germany and you're working there. You see this left-wing media going down the toilet and taking America with it?
Well, I haven't really been following kind of what's been going on in American media in the same way in the United States. So I don't really, you know, we're kind of like old school here. We have, you know, public television, you know, was actually established by the Allies after World War II as, you know, as kind of, you know, the main way of getting information. So you have the strongest radio and television stations in Germany are all public, right? And so with kind of an independent financing system, independent of the state or, you know, kind of collected by the state but not approved by the state. And so I don't really follow the Americans, you know, scene. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, you know, that's okay. You know, because we know that you have a handful of things to do just to keep tabs on what's going on right now. So Germany's relationship with Ukraine, where is that at as far as the journalistic perspective?
Well, Germany right now has, I think, is providing weapons to the Ukrainians who are, you know, kind of resisting the Russian invasion. There's, of course, you know, I just took the train to Hamburg the other day, and the train was, you know, filled with Ukrainian refugees. There's, like, you know, a huge number of refugees. You know, when you go to the central station in downtown Berlin, there's this huge number of refugees there and kind of constantly coming in. So I think taking a lot of the refugees is a big deal, and they're providing some weapons. I'm not exactly sure, you know, it kind of keeps on getting talked about in the media which ones, and so, but that's kind of the German role in a nutshell.
Sure, we were understanding that the Bundeswehr is not going to be supplying any more weapons, according to news that we were getting from over the weekend. We don't know how much truth there is to that, but I am kind of curious about
economic.
Go ahead.
There was a story that they had been, they had kind of run out of what they could give. Well, economically, Germany has decided, and actually very close to where I'm standing now is actually the gas pipeline is actually really, I think it's about like a half a mile away from here. It kind of goes through where I am right now. they've decided not to turn that on, which was something that Germany had been very involved in and, you know, spent a lot of money on, and it was kind of a big choice for them.
Well, that was the next thing I was going to ask you, John, is the, according to what we're hearing reports over here, and of course you're on the front line of this thing, so you would know, is there gas rationing going on in Germany right now?
No, not that I've heard. No, not in any way that I know of.
Yeah, because we're being told just the opposite, that Germany is basically not going to pay rubles to Russia. They're not. They pretty much cut their ties. They're rationing gas, all this other crazy stuff. So, I mean, we don't know half of what is being reported over there, whether it's factual, whether or not our news media is watering all this down.
Well, they did refuse to pay rubles because I think the original contract was that they didn't have to, and I think they kind of, you know, I think Putin kind of threatened that, and then they, you know, didn't follow, you know, they basically said no. And but when you say caps, wait a second, I thought you meant natural gas, and you mean actually, you know, what they call in the UK petrol, right?
Petrol,
for cars.
Yes.
Sorry. Of course, they know the word gas. I don't know about rationing, but the prices are very high.
Was it take another barrel full of Deutsche Marks like post-World War II to buy a gallon of gas now?
I had to throw that in.
I'm sorry.
Did you do time in Germany in the military, or did you...
I was just very much aware of history, and you know, we're talking about post-war inflation. This is something that, I mean, Germany obviously went through this much the same way as we did in our own depression. So, John Getz, we really appreciate your time and your comments and everything, and giving us a heads up on what's going on overseas. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
You bet. Take care. All right, there we go. All the way from Germany, John Getz. GuantanamoRevisitedFilm.com is a website. Treat with start stick with them.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with olive oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Herb and Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Calf, Sinew Araga, Oreganol Juice, Pure Leafy, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Oregarest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
This craft that the Strokes family had of recognizing the medicinal value of herbs by taste and then putting formulas together, knowing the herbal ingredients they needed, but putting them together in perfect proportion by taste, just like a chef would, the Strokes Heart Drops, the world-famous Strokes Heart Drops that saved my life, Jim Strokes's and many others, my dad, my list goes on and on. But those heart drops, they were developed, created 40 years ago for Jim himself after a heart attack. Now, this formula fixed my high blood pressure over 20 years ago, and I have had great blood pressure since.
Call Jay at 877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. It is April 11th, 2022. Time just keeps slipping away. Where does it all go? Yes. And, of course, your phone calls are welcome in this half hour as we try to sift through some of the news here. 844-769-2944. The one thing I want to talk about is Dr. Syed Haider. And we have some commentary here that we're going to get to. Fred, just hang on there in West Virginia. We'll get right to you. This is an online doctor that we at the Power Hour believe in. He's a COVID expert. He will hook you up with a pharmacy that will dispense off-label medications without charging you an arm and a leg. MyGoToDoc.com is the website with all of this doom and gloom about more pandemic issues. We want you to have the meds so you can start treatment fast. That means get them in the medicine cabinet now, because even low-risk patients can benefit from these off-label meds because they prevent long COVID, which can be debilitating, according to a recent large-scale study from the VA of 150,000 vets. There was an increased risk of heart attack and stroke even after up to a year later, 72% more likely than people who were not even infected. This is one of the reasons why we teamed up with Dr. Syed Haider at MyGoToDoc.com. He set that website up for a reason, because he's treated over 50,000 people with no deaths, and unlike other sites, you can register for free. I did. You can ask questions forever and ever. Most importantly, they connect you to independent pharmacies that won't gouge. Nobody likes that, especially during times when the bucks are a little skinny. MyGoToDoc.com is your go-to source for COVID-19. Their phone number is 281-219-7367, mygotodoc.com. Fred in West Virginia, thanks so much for hanging on the line here at the Power Hour. Welcome.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you, sir. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, I'd like to say that I've been a patient at Dr. Haider's and for multiple courses of meds, and I would recommend him to anybody.
Wonderful. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for the positive stroke there. Now, you actually went in and got your patient portal. It wasn't difficult. And
yes.
which you were given an opportunity to pick three different different choices.
Yeah, I had long haul.
Okay.
I thought because I didn't have a jab, I'd be okay around people, and that's not so true.
Oh. All right, so
people that are jabbed, and they get you.
So they were shedding, and you happened to come in contact with
them. I waited too long to get treated.
Oh,
Yeah, guys, I just walk through a store when I sneeze or cough. And you know?
All right.
When the government says, hey, everything's fine, not to worry, that's not true.
Okay. Well, we kind of believe that, Fred. It's not difficult to believe that isn't it. I mean, people have been dismissing the fact that these people that have been jabbed could be shedding and that you could get it. And this is one of the reasons why I'm glad you went to Dr. Hyder. Yeah, I'm glad you went to Dr. Hyder for that. So, are you still on the are you still on the protocols now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is my third round. I had it for quite some time and had been a construction worker and had dust, smoked, and other stuff like that that contributed to problems. And neither of which I'm around anymore, dust or smoking. But you know, when people say you got if you're healthy and you're young and you take your supplements, you stand a reasonable chance. But if you're older and you got things wrong with you, either just from living, you know, certain things hit you, we're not going to necessarily bother somebody else. And
well, that would be your comorbidity factors.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay.
And, like I said, I'd recommend the doctor to anybody because they're excellent. Him and his staff will accommodate you. They'll talk with you. They'll work with you. And I'm very happy I had became a patient of his because nobody around here they want to give you the PCR test or the jab. That's their way of treating you.
Yeah, I know.
Dig a hole and jump in. I mean,
so please tell me you didn't get a PCR
test,
right?
I wanted to call about somebody else online. Then.
No, that's all right. Did you get a PCR test? Did you not?
No, absolutely not. They give me that. I'm running. You know, they
all right.
Come
well,
me
you,
with
you,
any of that stuff. I'm running the other direction as fast as I can.
No doubt. Well, you and me share the same thing. So I'm glad you hooked up with Dr. Hyder and that he's taking care of you. And obviously, you know that if you're sick, like many other Power Hour listeners, you just have to tell him in the portal that you're a listener of the Power Hour and he will treat you. So he obviously did that. And God bless you, sir. We appreciate it.
Hey. All right. Good talking with you.
You bet. Thank you, Fred. Fred in West Virginia right there. There is your proof right there that this is exactly what we're saying. This is solution based. And this is one of the reasons why the Power Hour has endorsed this, and we appreciate you, Fred, in West Virginia, for calling up and letting me know that you hooked up with Dr. Hyder. That's important. If you even think that you're suffering from long COVID, or long haul is what we call it, you have three different choices when you log into the portal. And I picked my choice, which was stock my medicine cabinet up in advance. We're taking supplements. We're doing great. But you just never know. Like Fred said, you come in contact with somebody that's had the jab, and they're shedding. These people don't realize this, and they call us conspiracy theorists because of it. I mean, it's insane to think that if you are injected with something that you don't carry what you were injected with. I mean, it's bad enough that everybody, and see, this is the thing, they don't tell you. When you go get the jab, they don't tell you that you are being injected with the HIV genome. I mean, this has already been determined by the late Jean-Luc Montagnier, who's a Nobel laureate. I mean, he's already said, hey, look, we know it's in 4% of this. It's the AIDS virus. It's the HIV genome that's actually in the jab. And people are taking this stuff. And it's like, oh, boy. You know, if they only knew. But no, they go to the pharmacy. They go to the grocery store that administers these jabs. And they're told, oh, yes, these are very safe and effective. Bull pucky to that. I say 844-769-2944. If you have a comment to make here on the show, we were talking about Texas being under pressure to secure its own border. There is a very, very lengthy article, which I'm not going to get into. You may want to read that to let you know what's going on in the free state of Texas down here. People are stockpiling food. We are hearing this on a regular basis, especially in the red states. It's crazy that we even have to talk like this, but you know, people are preparing. People are really seriously preparing. They're getting as much ammo as they can lay their hands on. They're getting as many guns as they can lay their hands on. They're stockpiling food and supplies. You know, there's a reason for it. It's because our own government has failed us. Remember the old biblical saying, ye shall know them by their fruits? Yeah, there's another saying out there, and the truth shall set you free. That's called Veritas. The DOJ Election Threat Task Force appears to have something to hide, according to Tom Fitton, president of Judicial Watch. He says the U.S. DOJ is being weaponized against opposing voices. This is another reason why people are arming themselves to the teeth, because they fear another Waco or Ruby Ridge if they become a target of the DOJ. These people are evil. And, of course, he wants answers. And, of course, he filed a Freedom of Information Act request at the end of March. It was submitted in August 21. That's when they submitted this. The end of March, they filed the lawsuit. So they waited from August 2021 until March of this year, and they filed a lawsuit against the DOJ, making the Justice Department obligated to cough up the information. The DOJ has charged two people in connection with the election threats since the launch of the task force. If you say anything, they come after you. Anything of any real credence. And then, of course, they will demonize you. This is what the government does. They did this to Randy Weaver. They did it to David Koresh. And anybody that has stood up to them and has said anything that the government does not like, they will demonize you. A former Democratic congressional staffer that used to work in the offices of Representative Brad Schneider, Democrat of Illinois, has pleaded guilty to fraudulently stealing around $80,000 from the federal government. His 24-year-old Sterling Carter pled guilty to theft of public funds in connection with a scheme to fraudulently inflate his salary and bonus payments, thereby paying himself more than he was legitimately owed, according to the DOJ, what they said in a statement. He was responsible for managing the payroll in Schneider's office. He used that position to give himself unauthorized payouts from public funds. This felony crime could land him in prison for up to 10 years. Of course, he raised his annual salary. What did you expect? This is what goes on in D.C. You get there, you become corruptible. Republican gubernatorial candidate and mayor of Sandy, Oregon, Stan Pulliam, has called out what he describes as a radical agenda in the second largest school district in his state. Salem Kaiser's public schools' new LGBTQ plus policies are encouraging teachers to embrace the brilliance of that community. Its K through 12 curriculum will work to include gender and sexually diversity in ways relevant to the subjects taught. Folks, when you start programming your kids about gendered bathrooms and locker rooms, letting students pick the gendered sports team of their choice with no conditions, no strings attached, and you hide people that say, I really think I have a gender identity problem. Well, don't tell your parents. He basically is saying, this is Pulliam, of course, it's absurd. It's not their job to do this. Parents know better. Not school administrators. He's trying to change all that up there. But in the meantime, it might help if you knew what was going on enough to say, you know what, I've had enough of this. I'm going to homeschool my kid. I'm going to figure out a way to do this. You know, this is why we tell people, if you want to take advantage of opportunity, create a business model for yourself and use that business model. Form an LLC. Nobody said you had to do it in the state you're currently living in. If you want to get out of that state, if you're in a blue state, form an LLC in Wyoming or some other state. Seriously. And become a foreign LLC in whatever state you want to move to and start a business. The reason you're doing an LLC is for tax purposes. Because you get, according to my CPA, up to 75 deductions, whereas a sole proprietor, you don't. So the idea is find your niche and use it. Use it to get out of the rut you are in and move to a different place. Get to a different place in your life. I will tell you this about the way God works. He gives you free will. That means you don't have to be in depression because you were given a sound mind. It says that right in the good book. Above all things, you should have a sound mind. You should be praying without ceasing, as it says in Ephesians. You should know that if you act, doors will open. The Greek word is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. It means faith-based action, believing. And if you do that and you pray for something, praying is not enough. You have to take action. That word pistis means faith-based action. Manifest it into being. Take the steps necessary to do your own business. And even if it is a statutory creature of this earth, it doesn't mean you have to succumb to the ways of Satan. God wants you to live an abundant life, John 10:10. He came that you might have an abundant life. That's what he sent Christ here on this earth for. Abundance, not just in monetary issue, but also in spiritual issue. Walking in faith, vertical, with the Almighty, in spirit. He that worships him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's John 4:24. I'm not going to get into preaching and preaching and preaching, but you know, when I see this one house government that we have, and you see people like Kevin McCarthy from California, who is the minority leader in the House, and he says that, you know, hey, if you become Speaker in November, would you try to impeach President Biden? And of course, what does McCarthy say? He tells Fox News' Maria Bartiromo, well, look, one thing we learned the Democrats did is they used impeachment for political reason. We obviously, you know, we believe in the rule of law. We're not going to pick and choose just because somebody has power. We're going to uphold the law at any time if somebody breaks it and the ramification becomes impeachment. We would move toward that, but we're not going to use it for political purposes. Nah. Well, Mr. McCarthy, are you becoming a rhino secretly? You know, what are you doing? You want to secure the border, make us energy independent, bring the prices down, but you don't want to get rid of the nutbag at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and his sidekick Giggles? You don't want to get somebody that has put us in holy hell? That's basically, I believe he worships Satan. I don't know about you. 844-769-2944 if you want to chime in on that thought process. We look at the economy, and I read the article from HEB, from one of its produce managers, saying, look, the reason that prices are getting higher is because we can't get goods to market. People don't want to work. In Texas, where I am, there are so many jobs available. Those of you in blue states that want to move here, trust me, you can find work in all different sectors. It's there. There are lots of jobs available here because apparently some of the blue state workers that migrated here think they can just stay on unemployment forever. Don't know what to tell you. Maybe they got all this excess cash and they come in here and they move to places like Texas and Florida. And there are lots of jobs, but you know, if people have all this money, why should they work? But yet they go to our restaurants and they sit there for half an hour and bitch and complain because of the fact nobody will wait on them. Because they only have two servers handling the entire restaurant. Ever been in a situation like that? I went to a restaurant in New Braunfels, Texas the other night, and we literally had to turn around because one waitress was getting off and there was another waitress handling an entire side of the restaurant. And it was a corporate restaurant. So we ended up going to a place down the street just to hang out and talk to people. And you know what? Nobody was wearing a mask. We all had a wonderful conversation. Were we sitting 6 feet apart? I hardly doubt it. You see, when you're in a free state, things operate differently than when you're in a slave state. And it's crazy how history repeats itself. I am not saying anything that I would consider moronic here. Those of you who know what slavery is, and you can be a slave to the rhythm, I have many times said I'm a black man trapped in a white man's body. And the reason I say it is, and I even tell black people this and they start laughing. I go, no, 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 wait. You got to understand we are all burdened with something. We're all under bondage to something. Mental bondage, physical bondage. It doesn't have to be that we're locked down and, you know, they didn't weld our doors shut. It's like nobody, it's not like China right now where we can't leave our apartment because they're just restricting our movements. It's not like that. But you see, all these people in blue states, especially that in, just love their power grab, they don't want to let go of it. You've got one of the probably the most communist dictators running the state of California right now that thinks he can go anywhere and do everything, that his caca doesn't stink, and he can go hang out in every restaurant he wants to with no mask on. Same with his, all of his, you know, city leaders out there in California. You know, it's made the Sunshine State look like, you know, Dick Nixon on a Sunday school picnic. You know, one of these things that amazes me is how these people can continue to insist that we all have to give up all of our rights, especially rights endeared to us under the U.S. Constitution, while they can just go out and do whatever the hell they please. I mean, doesn't that slightly irritate you? And then, you know, we don't want people to call up and be, oh, well, we might as well just learn to live with it. And you know who you are. You know, you can't think like that. This country, if our founding fathers thought like that, we would not be where we are right now. We listened to mainstream media. That was our mistake. We won't do that again. Won't get fooled again. Yeah, that's not going to happen. And it makes you wonder why they use that on CSI and some of that stuff. You know, they use that Who song, Won't Get Fooled Again, Fool Me Once. Remember that? Yeah, fool me twice, not happening. States that instituted more severe COVID-19 lockdowns have put a drag on recovery in a labor market desperate for hires. This is the way it is. They were forced out of the labor market due to fear of the disease or government restrictions. Now you have all of them, you know, majority of them have since returned, but it appears still millions more on the sidelines, particularly in blue states. And of course, you can't go to work unless you have the jab. And you wonder why all the airlines are canceling flights? It's because the pilots have awakened. How would you like to be on an airplane full of jabbed people? It's bad enough we got cruise ships out there that are fully vaccinated and they're all having outbreaks. But imagine when you've had somebody that's had the jab and they're flying your aircraft and you're a passenger on that aircraft and all of a sudden they stroke out in the cockpit. Who's flying that plane? See what I mean? You know, we should have had 3 million more in the labor force by now, but because of all of this garbage and these lies being pandered by leftist media in this country, millions are out of work and we are all suffering for it. The supply chain issues are not just because of the fact we have an oil or gas shortage. It's all because of the fact that labor force is not there. I think that purchaser of produce from HEB was right in the article that I just read in the post on Nextdoor. He was saying it right. Look, we got plenty of jobs if you're willing to take them on. I don't know that HEB, the grocery store chain here, I don't know that they're woke, that they're requiring people to get the jab. I know their pharmacy offers it. I scoff every time I go by the sign. And I look at all the people that are being fooled into going in there and getting a booster shot. You think you're doing the right thing because you're listening to the government. Remember that? Trust me, I'm from the government. I'm here to help you. Really? And if you think that big business and Wall Street is helping you out as an American investor, you should know that small American investors are being screwed by corporate insiders from China, who are cheating small American investors of billions of dollars because why? They have advanced information that enables lucrative trades just before the stock price falls. The American exchanges, these Chinese companies, have avoided by selling prior to price drops at least $10 billion between 2016 and the middle of 2021, according to a new study of their security filings. Chinese company shares fell an average of 21% a year after the Chinese company insiders sold large quantities of stock, compared to a 2% rise after insiders from American companies sold. Now understand something else. Our politicians knew this. They're enriching themselves at the expense of the American investor. There is a commentary also on our upcoming email blast, which you should subscribe to. Central banks, who needs them? No one. Talking about the hike in the lending rate. We also have another one on there, a video about a state that can abduct your kids through CPS medical kidnapping, according to Representative Tammy Nichols, a recent case in Idaho. You should see that video. Medical kidnapping. This is why more moms should consider homeschooling their kids, so you don't have to worry about that. Because, see, they're controlling them through the school system. Because if they're not going to take the jab, and the school system mandates they have to have the jab, you got to do something, moms. You let your kids take the jab, and not too distant future, your child might be dead. We also have an article in here on unsafe levels of uranium present in the American public drinking water. Those of you on well water that are living off-grid, consider yourself lucky. And, of course, the president of Whaley Energy Consulting, Don Whaley, says the White House's recent plan to bring down gas prices, while bold, lacks substance. You know why? Because the people running the shift show in D.C. lack brains. That's why they lack substance. What can I say? We've got a lot of different things going on in the world. You can read them all in our InBlasts here on thepowerhour.com. Just go online and subscribe. In the meantime, stay safe. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Thanks for joining us this hour. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.